And welcome to the midday. I'm Norman. Stephanie's over there. And we have with us one of the, I would say, the tallest cellist we've ever had in the studio. We've had quite a number come through over the years. And he's also, by the sound of his music, one of the most beautiful to listen to. Amit Peled, welcome.
Hi. Nice to be here.
You know, Amit has been hailed as a young Rostropovich, and he'll be performing here in Wisconsin tonight with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra, doing music of Haydn. But that's not all the music that you perform.
Well, we have a little surprise, depending on the public. If they like the Haydn and clap a lot, we will play an encore by Bloch, a prayer by Bloch.
And that is called From Jewish Life, I believe, right?
Yeah. It's first movement of three short movements called From Jewish Life. And it's originally for cello and piano, but a good friend of mine in Israel arranged it for cello and string orchestra. And it's probably one of the most favorite pieces for me to play. And it's always nice to play it with different people and to see how they feel about it and to connect with them through it.
And you're from Israel, is that right?
Yeah. I grew up in a very tiny agriculture-based kibbutz in the north of the country, the furthest you can imagine from classical music. And here I am.
So what was your track to get into the classical
music? My track was a girl.
That works often, doesn't it? One way or the
other. She was a little older than me, and I wanted to get to know her. In the kibbutz, we used to all be raised in a little elementary school, and we spent most of the days there, and the music room was under our classroom, so I used to hear her practice cello. Of course, my parents were shocked when I decided to play cello, but I thought this would be a good way to get to know her, and since then she stopped playing cello, and I'm stuck with it.
To the betterment of the classical music world. And from there, you studied with some wonderful teachers.
Yeah, I started with somebody who lives here now, with Uri Vardy, when he was in Israel. That was many, many years ago. And he basically taught me the rules of playing cello and approaching the cello, and I'm very thankful for him for that. And then he left Israel and arrived in Madison. I was very upset with him, but
I
understand why when I'm in Madison. And then I went to the army like any other Israeli, but I ended up in the army string quartet, played for soldiers for 4 years, for the prime minister, for the president. It was a lot of fun and a lot of performance experience. Basically, every day we performed as a quartet in some kind of army situation. And after the army, I went to the States and did my undergraduate and graduate studies, and then I went to Germany, and then one bright day I got the job at Peabody as a professor by coincidence. We can talk about it too, but I was 28 then.
I would say one of the youngest professors of cello at a music conservatory.
Yeah.
A lot of musicians of any kind would envy you that experience.
Yeah, well, it all started in a house concert. That's why I always tell my students, always try to play well, no matter where you are. It was a preparation for my Carnegie Hall recital debut, and a very nice lady, Linda Shapiro, who lives in Baltimore and is connected to the America-Israel Cultural Foundation, hosted like a run-through concert for me. So I went there with a pianist, and we played the recital. Didn't think much of it, but try to play it as best as we can. And the dean of Peabody, she's a good friend of Linda, and she was at the concert. And she asked me, we had a reception after, and she asked me if I like teaching. Of course, I was then still a student, but I said, of course, I love teaching.
Good answer.
And, yeah, and she said, well, would you like coming to Peabody and give a class just as an introduction? I said, yes, but you have to change my ticket because I'm supposed to go to Montana or something, I don't remember. And she did, and I was not nervous at all because it was really not planned for me to start so early. I always wanted to teach, but that was not the plan. So I gave a class, and I felt really good and played a little recital. And a year after, I found out that the reason why she asked me was that the late Stephen Cates, the famous cellist and teacher, had cancer, and they knew that it's going to end soon, and they started looking. And a year later, I came back officially again to do the audition and then got the job.
It's a marvelous story from the kibbutz to Peabody.
Well, you have a wonderful recording of a work that is, I think, even large as it is, and by such a major composer, is still easily overlooked because we don't think of Rachmaninoff as writing cello sonatas.
No, well, this particular sonata has a huge piano part, so it's always hard to find a pianist that will be able to play, to be sensitive enough to the cellist, but also to be able enough to play. And I have one that can do it, and it's just wonderful for cellists because you basically sing the whole time and the piano is running around behind you. And it's a great piece. It's a lot of students want to play it, and I always feel that it's a bit early for them because it's like singing. You need your voice to be ready to sing it. It's not, the notes are not as difficult, but the voice that you have to produce is very special. A lot of colors, and I just love this piece.
Yeah. Well, we'll hear a couple of movements from it, probably. This is the one we'll start with, the second movement, the Allegro Scherzando. The pianist, whom you complimented just a moment ago, Daniel Delpino, with our guest today, Amit Peled. Rachmaninoff sounding so Rachmaninovian there, especially toward the end.
That was our guest, Amit Peled, who is a remarkable cellist, as well as pianist Daniel Delpino. And Amit is here with us in the studio because he's going to be appearing with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra tonight. That's at 8 o'clock in the Capitol Theater of the Overture Center. Also on the program, well, I should say he's doing the Haydn Cello Concerto No. 1 in C major.
Long lost, you could call that one.
Right. Didn't we? We were talking before we went on the air that it was found in 1961.
61, yeah. It was found much later than the second concerto. And everybody believed always that there's only one concerto, and then it came to the public. But when I started playing cello, this was the first concerto, and it was obvious that I should learn it. It's one of our masterpieces. But for some of my teachers, the older ones, they haven't played it. Because when they were young, at the time when you learned the concerto, this didn't exist.
And it was written for a very capable cellist, too, apparently. Real virtuoso effects required.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very difficult concerto. Even today, when I go back to it again and again, it's one of the hardest, I think, but it's so beautiful and it's never boring and there's always new things to find about it. And even now with the orchestra, it's such a good ensemble and a great conductor. So a lot of the things that I was about to do, I changed because they're doing it differently, the articulations, the dynamics. And so it's very interesting to play it. And then, of course, to teach it also, if you have a student from Korea or from Croatia or from Israel, or you always see what their teacher told them to do. So you see the link to their tradition. And I always find new fingerings, new ideas, new approach to it. So it's never boring.
It is technically challenging. How do you prepare for something like that?
Well, I practice scales every day.
Every day?
Every single day of my life. It's like brushing teeth in the morning. And all my students do as well. And I developed a system of scales that I call the first hour. And I do it persistently, and all my students do it. Some of them better than others, but and that's what keeps me in shape, basically.
So an hour a day of scales every single day.
Yeah, and then, of course, practicing the pieces.
Right.
But that's the maintenance. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the scales include basically all the technical information that our pieces given us, the double stops, what we call double stops, the two notes at the same time, arpeggios, fast scales, descending, ascending, different bow strokes. So once you do, it's like an athlete doing warm-up before running. They don't just go to the track and run 100 meters. They have 2 hours of warm-up. So it's the same thing.
Or even painters, you know, who start by just kind of doing brush strokes or little self-portraits and that kind of thing before they get to the serious stuff.
And I think students sometimes amazed or surprised that what we call professional musicians still do it. They think that one day you just stop doing it, but it's not like what we call bicycle technique. It, you know, if you don't do it for a few days, it's gone. So it's just, we have to do it. It's like sports.
Scales, play those scales. Shall we get back to Rachmaninoff just for the sake of contrast? We heard one of the actually faster movements of this four-movement sonata, and this will give you more of a chance to sing, I suspect. This third movement, the Andante, with our guest today, Amit Peled, and pianist Daniel DePino. Has promised us singing cello.
That's our guest, Amit Peled. And he will be appearing with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra tonight at 8 o'clock here in Madison at the Capitol Theater in the Overture Center. Also on the program, Respighi's Birds, Gli Uccelli, and the Rautavaara Cantus Arcticus.
Which also has birds in it. Different kinds of birds, but that'll be sort of bookending this almost literally fantastic Haydn cello concerto that was missing for 200 years.
Amit mentioned while we were listening to that beautiful movement that the whole thing is up on YouTube.
So it is. If you just put my name there, you'll see it.
You'll see you and hear you at the same time.
That's Amitpeled.
Tell us a little bit about this piece. We're not going to be hearing it right now, but a little bit later in the back half of the hour after we get to the quiz question, this prayer that you mentioned.
The prayer is a very short piece, very intimate, and it represents the way the old traditional synagogue is, where you have the rabbi not confronting the public, confronting the what we call Torah, the Bible, or you could say God, and facing God, and so the congregation only see the back of the rabbi or the cantor in that case. And not only that, the body is covered with what we call talit. So the whole approach as a performer to play it is that you're covered, it's very intimate, and you're only talking to God. The congregation, which in this case will be the orchestra, is reacting to your prayers to God. Sometimes they're with you, sometimes they're against you, and even the congregation in a traditional setting, the women and men are separate. So when you have the high voices, you can imagine the women, when you have the low voices, the men, and the end of the piece, all joined together in a last plea for God not to go to hell. And it always, no matter what kind of Jewish music one plays, I think it's good to understand this setting and to know how it feels to be in an old traditional synagogue, that the intimacy and the way you speak to God one-on-one is very, very different, and it affects the way we perform.
Do you use a different instrument, a different cello to perform one kind of music or another?
No. The cello is my voice, and you know I try to do different things technically to achieve different colors, but it's the same voice. Luckily, I have a nice instrument.
Yes, so. Tell us about your cello.
My cello, I don't own it, because if I would, I would be a millionaire, but it's from 1689. It's an Andreas Guarneri cello, one of 14 existing instruments in the world by this maker, and was purchased about 3 years ago by a private collector who lives in Cape Cod. And she's an amateur cellist, and again, the coincidence is in my life, I used to live in her house with her and her husband when I studied with the famous Bernard Greenhouse, who retired on the Cape. And one thing led to the other, and she decided to buy this cello and to invest in this instrument as I did. I think she did well, because it was instead of stocks.
So yes, that's one thing.
And she bought the cello, and I got the chance to use it, and it's a very special instrument. But the problem with it, is that now every time I play a concert, people come and congratulate the cello and not me. So I always tell this story, and I have to say it now. It's a true story about Heifetz, who played a concert, and he played a recital, and then somebody, an old lady, came up to him after the concert and said, "Mr. Heifetz, your violin sounds so great. What is it?" So he took it with his hand, he shook it next to his ear and said, "Well, I can't hear anything."
Yeah,
and so I think I always feel like it, and I even almost at the point where I think I should take it out of my resume, because the cello cannot do it by itself. So
yes, we can.
And it's actually, in fact, much harder to play those instruments than modern instruments, because it really has its own voice, and one should learn how not to disturb it, and you have to play differently.
We've been listening to this wonderful CD featuring Amit Pellad live, and it includes the Elgar Concerto as well as the Rachmaninoff and the Bloch Prayer from Jewish Life, and that's available on the CTM Classics label. And did you want to mention briefly before we go to the music, Norman, that our guest is also working on a new CD? That's the...
Let him mention it.
Yes, why don't you tell us about that project?
Okay, I'll tell you a little story behind it. I was playing in Baton Rouge, Louisiana last year, and after the concert, the principal cellist of the orchestra, the Baton Rouge Symphony, came up to me and said, "My other job, as we know, they need a few kind of jobs, is the vice president of Centaur Records." And I said, "Well, okay, I didn't even know it's in Baton Rouge. It's based in Baton Rouge." And he said, "Well, would you like to record with us exclusively 3 CDs?" I said, "Sure." And he said, "How about Jewish music?" I said, "Well, that's wonderful. All good." But then I had a trouble because I didn't know so many pieces by Jewish composers. So I went on Google and I looked for Jewish composer, and I found actually a lot. And the first CD is coming out on March 20th, and you'll be able to buy it, anybody, through the Centaur Records website. And it will feature a lot of pieces by Bloch, Kopitman, Partosh, Stuchevsky, a lot of really, really great pieces. And then maybe the highlight of the CD will be the Kol Nidre, the famous Kol Nidre, which I recorded in an arrangement for 5 cellos with 4 of my students at Peabody.
Sounds lovely.
Very exciting.
Well, we've certainly enjoyed having you as a guest, Amit.
This is the final movement of the Rachmaninoff Cello Sonata. We've been hearing a sonata in G minor with Amit Pellad and pianist Daniel Delpino.